This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Forever Dog.
Hi, Anna.
Hi, Andrew.
And hey, everybody else.
And welcome to our podcast,
Scary Stories to tell on the pod.
It's a podcast for scared people who like being scared.
That's it.
It's a comedy podcast mostly. If you're looking for a well-researched book of a podcast, it's not here.
It's not. And we support you in your venture. And we are here to tell you we are your backseat friends telling stories on a way to a theme park that is kind of off the beaten path.
Yes. Yeah. Like, we didn't expect it to take an hour to get into the parking lot, but that's right. What's happening.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're also in a very cavernous, echoey space.
I know. Everybody, you've been champs. As we've been recording in person, the benefit is it's much more fun.
It's much more fun and the flow is better.
The negative is we are in my cavernous apartment.
Now, why don't we do it in me and Jason's apartment?
It is a beautiful place to podcast in.
It is, and we have curtains on one end.
Wow,
we should do that.
You're smart.
But the thing is, Jason and I, an important part of our life is leaving Ritz cracker wrappers on the floor with crackers still in it.
I have to tell you, underwear everywhere.
Anna,
every time we've gone over, has had like an antipasto cheese and cracker and sausage of some kind.
Wow.
Three different times we've been over, you've provided that. And that, to me, is adulthood.
Well, I can tell you that sweet Katie Fischel of At Sex Is Weird was at my house today unexpectedly, and there were multiple pairs of underwear and Ritz crackers on the floor, and she was a damn champ.
Wow.
She allowed it to occur.
Everything is allowed right now.
It's all, look, yeah. It's got to be, unless it's illegal.
Unless
this isn't the purge.
Yes.
It's the purge of what is not important.
Exactly.
But speaking of the word important.
Hey.
This is, we're doing listener campfire tales this summer. If you've ever heard a random ghost story from someone at a party, that's what we're going for here.
What a thrill. And you all have been sending us some real humdingers that we've been thrilled by.
And Andrew, what is a humdinger?
Humdinger is, you go, and then a spittoon ding happens, but then you're like, I didn't do that. So it's creepy and you appreciate it.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, good. That's what I thought. I knew that. And we got a real humdinger. This is from not even friend of the pod, a champion of the pod?
Champion of the pod, deep friend of ours.
Deep friend of ours, deep go back far friend.
She's been on the pod now two times with a cameo in a third episode.
And it is Miss Mara Wilson. This is a story from Mara that we're going to read, and it's special.
She gave us a heads up that she was sending it, which was very sweet. She was like, no pressure. This is a story that I've heard, and I do want to share it with you. And she did not disappoint. This one I am very excited about.
Very excited. And she sent it to our email at scarystorypod@gmail.com. If you got scary stories, send them.
Could you please?
Can you beat this? Send it on in. So we're very excited. Yes. So here we go. And the subject line is Anna's story from Mara. Not me.
This Anna. There's multiple Annas in the world.
There's multiple Annas. Hey, guys. So my sister has all kinds of wild stories about spooky things that have happened to her. She was once a live-in caretaker for an elderly Russian woman with dementia.
Oh, right.
Tag yourself. This is me. Who had bookshelves upon bookshelves of occult books and who would say things like, "Who's that man behind you?" when they were completely alone in the house in the middle of the night.
I can't believe it. And yet I do.
And if you want to hear more, she's actually working on a comic about it now. You can find the beginnings of it on longnightcomic.tumblr.com.
Oh, I can't wait to check that out.
Yeah, we'll post about it. But this story is spooky in a different way. Pivot. It happened a few years ago when she was working at a restaurant. Here's how she tells it. So this is Anna, sister of the champion of the pod. So I was working in a little diner that had a really beautiful and spacious patio. I was 24, so I could pour beer. And because the other coworkers were younger than me, sometimes they would leave early and leave me by myself. What?
Oh.
No.
No, that's not allowed. I don't care what age you are. You don't abandon a coworker.
No, if you're younger, your life has to be worse. Because older is your bones are breaking. This is the rule, Andrew.
This is the world.
What? I just picture them on a sexy roller coaster.
Oh, you know what? Then my mind has changed.
Yeah. One afternoon, a guy in a much younger Vermin? Guy in a much younger Vermin came to eat at my restaurant, and they chose a table outside. I went outside, and immediately I got a weird vibe from the guy. He was carrying these two small packages with him, and he was talking to the girl in this really interesting way where I couldn't quite tell what their relationship was. This happens all the time in Los Angeles, I have to say.
Oh, constantly. Much more than any other city, I think.
Where I'm like, are you guys having sex and are weird with each other? Yes. Or your friends and you're weird? Or your cousins and you're weird?
Did this start as an industry meetup? And then both of you were like, is this a date actually? What
yes,
is happening?
Yes, yes, yes. This is every other table. Well, I'm not here to judge, I figured. He was, I'd say, in his early 50s, had straight gray and black hair, and he had sunglasses on and was wearing all black with a leather jacket. The girl was young and conventionally beautiful. She had long, curled brown hair and beautifully done makeup. Curled, not curly,
which means
that heat tools were involved.
And heat tools are dangerous, everybody. Be careful.
Danger can cause a ghost, which is scary.
Wow.
Think about it. And beautifully done makeup. I already said that, but we're just revisiting it. Makeup takes so long and it wipes off at the end of the day. It's insane. Okay. When I went over to their table, he kept mocking and teasing the girl in front of me. When I took their drink orders, he said to her, "Do you want to get a Corona?" And she said, "No, I'll take a look at the drink menu myself." And the man looked at me and laughed coldly, saying, "Everything I do, she does the exact opposite of." He gestured dramatically to her and said, "Don't sleep with me." I didn't laugh at this. Yeesh.
Yikes.
Kind of casually, he asked me, "What do you do?" And I said, "I'm a waitress."
My God. That is the sign of a person that something is wrong.
"What do you do at work now?"
"Hello, chef. What do you do?"
"What kind of costume is your job?" "I'm a waitress here, but I'm trying to transfer into UCLA. He looked at the girl and said, "See? She's got her life figured out." He turned back to me and said, "How old are you?" I said I was 24. And the girl said, "Oh, I just turned 24. I wondered what she was doing with a guy that age. She seemed very into him, but he wasn't handsome and clearly wasn't rich and really wasn't nice. And this was a family diner, not the kind of place you'd expect a sugar daddy to take his sugar baby."
What?
A sugar daddy on a budget feels like diner is perfect for him.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they got a lot of stuff.
Sugar daddy on a budget is like sugar da. Like, it's like we're not even finishing it.
Sugar da. It's verbalizations. It's not yet words. When I returned with the drinks, he was saying something to her like, "Well, don't worry. That's why we're here. I'm going to help you sort out your life." After I took their food orders, he said something like, "You know, the last 5 years of my life haven't gone the way I planned." But what really caught my attention was the fact that he had opened up one of the small packages with them, and it was one of these long plastic vials with a red stopper. I couldn't see what was inside of them, but that gave me a red alert. When I came out with their food, one of the vials was partially empty.
Gah.
Sorry, I keep doing sniffs.
That's fine.
It's not cocaine. It's just Jewish allergies. The opposite of cocaine. Okay. I felt like I knew something was wrong, but I didn't know what. When the girl got up to go to the bathroom, I had half a mind to follow her and be like, "Hey, do you know this guy? Is he okay? Like, do you want me to hide you in the freezer for a little bit? Because to be honest, he's giving me kind of creepy vibes." But by that time, everyone in the restaurant had left, so I was the only one who could work the register, and the guy walked up to pay. Because diner, you got to pay the...
That's right, pay up front.
I don't like that. I tried to be as casual as I could as I asked him, "Hey, how do you know that girl?" And he said, "Oh, I hired a private investigator to take naked photos of her so that I could blackmail her into sleeping with me."
Oh, boy.
Once again, I did not laugh. What he said made me scared for her. It made me scared for me. Wait, is this a joke or not?
I'm sure he voiced it as a joke,
yeah.
But that is a true dark-sided joke to make.
Dark-sided?
Yeah, gargoyles!
Gargoyles! This man... We'll talk more after.
Yes.
I knew I needed to get him out of there. Fortunately, he left. The girl slipped out with him, and when I was cleaning up their table, I noticed the package was still there with the empty vials. I looked it up, and it was some sort of herbal infusion of Molly that he had given her. But the guy's name and address was still in the package, and I just had this instinct to Google him. I needed to know what his deal was because I was overwhelmed with this feeling that something was wrong with this guy. So I Googled him, and the first thing that came up was his mugshot. This guy had been arrested for suspicion of a murder of a much younger woman who passed away in another big city, one I used to live in. Allegedly, he had claimed that he had been sleeping in the venue that he worked in and had found, quote, his friend dead beside him when he woke up. They must have eventually dropped the charges and then he had skipped town and moved here. This scared me on multiple levels because I felt like I had known it. I never saw him again, but I feel as if I met a truly evil man that day. Oh my God.
This is very scary.
This is not the terror I was expecting.
No.
I was expecting ghost story.
I know, but what a twist.
This man. What? Ugh, I'm so sorry. I'm glad that you're fine, and I'm glad that she's fine, which is a story I'm inventing for myself in order to feel okay.
This does bring up a very... Oh, sorry. Is this the end?
Yeah, this is the end.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Mara, thank you so much for sending it. Anna from the story, we're so glad you're okay.
Jesus. And I mean, your instincts sometimes are from stupid bias and propaganda, and sometimes it's... real.
I know. Sometimes it is worth, as Anna said, like hide someone in your freezer for a little bit so that this man doesn't hide them in a freezer forever. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But like, it's always this. I was just talking about this with Katie Fischel this morning. Like if you were to follow every girl who came out of a bar with a guy, then that would be your full-time job because like this shit, it's like, why didn't she help? It's like, this shit is everywhere.
Right.
It happens literally all day. But yeah, those like spooky feelings are so, it also makes sense that like somebody who makes these jokes, sometimes it's just a joke, but sometimes it is like, if you thought that I, as a young woman who's the same age as that person would find it funny too, you either are not taking into account that I likely don't find that funny.
Yeah.
Or you don't care.
This is, it's a really funny thing, Anna, that, so we work in comedy, and yet, to me, a huge red flag are people who say, like, I just love making people uncomfortable. That, to me, is like, so that is an opposite human want.
Yes.
That to me implies something like you're approaching human to human interactions like you were a scientist. And that is not how we, like, even if that is a natural curiosity you have, your primary goal should not be like, I'm going to make someone uncomfortable. Like, that's not a, especially in comedy, that's not comedy.
It's theater, really.
Right. Yeah. You were a performance artist.
Yes. Sorry. You got to go tell your parents.
Right.
Yeah, like I when people say that, I think it's usually they're acknowledging that their material doesn't always hit.
Yeah.
And they feel bad about that, but they're justifying it by saying, guess that's just kind of the fucked up guy that I am. And like making themselves feel better instead of, I don't know, writing more, like being more entertaining. And I say this as someone who did the same seven jokes for about a decade.
My Lord, I know the feeling.
Especially like the interpersonal jokes, like not even on stage. Like I've experienced this so many times and it just feels like they think that it's compulsory to make these kinds of comments.
Yes.
And it just lets you know about the people that they spend the most time with.
Right.
I guess they all did. And it really lets you know about their parents.
Oh, gosh.
That's always, I mean, I'm sure you could listen to me talking about this and be like, what are you talking about? It's a joke. But it also is like very weird. It's still something you're saying.
Right.
It's not nothing. You didn't think it.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
There is something deeply creepy to me, too, about late-night diners and gauging what the relationships are between the people who are there, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like I think one of the strangest nights of my life was I was out with friends and I was catching like a 4 a.m. train out of Penn Station in New York. And I was like, I got out with my friends at like 12:30 and I was like, I'm not going to go all the way home. Mm-hmm. So I went to that diner that's like right by the old Penn Station. You know, that it's not called Around the Clock, but it's called something like TikTok Diner Time. Like,
yes, yeah.
And I went in there, and again, at like 1 in the morning.
Yeah, on 8th and 30, between 34th and yes, 35th. Yes, exactly. I used to work in that hotel.
Oh my gosh. So then, so you get at a late, you know, late night, you get like people who are like getting their kind of like food to soak up whatever they've drank that night. And then after that, like before the early morning breakfast crew comes in, it is a real peculiar assortment of people.
It is like that time, especially near Penn Station.
Yeah.
It's a parade that could be themed, I'm being the most myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like people who live on the edge normally and people who don't normally. It's just everyone is, there's no cover up.
That's, and so to, like, if I recall correctly, that night it was, there were maybe like three different pairs of people who had missed the last like train to Long Island.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like heads down on table. One person ordered a bagel. Like they're just waiting
just
until
a loose bagel.
Right. Right. And then the strangest of all, man walks in tall, thin as a skeleton, wearing a scarf that was piano keys.
Oh,
he sits down. He's wearing like a beret-esque hat. I don't know what qualifies as a beret, but sure. It read beret.
It was in the area of beret.
He's sitting there. I'm like, okay, just kind of random strange guy in New York. He is then joined by an equally tall, thin person who sits down. They like say hi to each other. They eat, each of them, like a strawberry shortcake, like a slice of strawberry shortcake.
Okay.
They do not interact. They are sitting there eating together. The strawberry shortcake is taken away. 20 minutes past, they're each like reading magazines, newspapers, not interacting. Anna, like maybe an hour after they had like sat down together, they order another slice of strawberry shortcake, each of them. And I was like, this is the richest backstory I could ever possibly divine. And what do you think? What do you think that, I never found out the answer, they left. Like, what was that?
I know exactly what that was, and I think you'll agree with me. God gave two men 2 hours out of their graves.
Anna, that is it.
I'm not saying they knew each other.
No.
But whoever they were, their favorite thing in the world was strawberry shortcake.
At that diner. Wow. That's it. I love seeing people. The people are doing this thing now. I feel like maybe men are losing fantasy football games, and then they have to go at like Waffle House for 24 hours or something.
That's like a bet. Like,
yeah,
if you lose,
you
have to go there.
And so it's like, I'm seeing kind of like experiences. And so like you're getting a very particular experience late night in a metropolitan diner, in a rural or suburban diner at that time. I can only imagine.
Oh my God. You're right. You're dead on with like the diner that's 24 hours, which I don't remember if that's what this one was. Like, it defies God because it, big shout outs, podcast sponsor God, use code, scary stories for 10% more God. It refuses to start the day anew the way that we all are commanded to by the Bible.
You have to go to sleep.
You gotta go down flat on your bed. And like, if you don't, it is in this, it does feel like witching hour. It feels like the veil between this world and the next is thin.
Yes.
And like, yeah, I also would get out. I waited tables for a very short amount of time because I'm too fragile. And like getting out super late with like a giant wad of cash in the West Village is like the weirdest feeling.
Yeah. It's like walking around soaked in gasoline. It's like this could be fine.
Could be fine.
But if one thing goes wrong, it's all over.
I know. Yeah, there's a lot of haunted restaurants, but most of them are haunted by people like this.
I know. I guess my other thing is, in a situation like what the twist for me in this story is the fact that how Anna was gauging the situation, the young woman was very into this older guy.
Does she seem fine? I don't know.
And that is, you know, and I feel like, I don't know. I've been on, like in my mid-20s, I remember going on dates with people who I felt like, oh, like this person is kind of, they like know more than me and this will all be fine. And I think gradually when you are in enough of those interactions, this isn't speaking for everybody, but there is a type of person who seeks out younger people so that they can feel in charge. Mm-hmm. Again, not everybody. And that is a type of person who, if that's what you're looking for, that's great. But you can very quickly sign yourself up for a situation that is potentially uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And in a very rare instance, someone who is trying to kill you.
Very rare. Usually they're just trying to not feel so lame.
Yeah.
And if they're near somebody who knows less, they're less likely to know that they suck.
I will make a blanket statement here.
Okay. Let's do it.
If someone is carrying around a package of vials and those are not medically prescribed by a doctor, I'm going to say just keep your alert lights on.
Keep them on.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, when you're in the place, and look, I get it. I was a big fan of Lord of the Rings in middle school.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. The middle-aged men are amazing.
Yeah.
When you are young and stupid. It's great because their hair turn a little bit gray sometimes.
I
and
know.
That's so fun.
Right. And they know things.
And also, it's nice to be considered hot. Like, I feel like that's mostly what women like with older guys is that they look at them like, oh my God. And they're like, we all just want to feel so hot. And one way to have that happen is if the person is less likely to see hot people.
Also, I feel like I should clarify, like, I still feel middle-aged people are great and old people and everything. And, you know,
we've been middle-aged since 12.
Yeah.
So.
Love whoever, love whatever degree of salt and pepper you like. If the added element is that person is also constantly mocking you in public.
Don't do this. I know. I watched, the fuck show was it? It was like, it was one of these horrible reality shows. It wasn't 90 Day. It was basically like, I can't remember what the title was, but it was like, I'm getting married to an older or younger person for money. It was like dating millionaires or something, married
Whoa.
To millions, I think. And there's a girl who was like, I want to say 20, and a guy who was, I want to say 60,
Wow.
who was just constantly like the like Cheshire cat grinning all the time and had like dyed hair and like horrible face and looked like discount Richard Branson, like so scary.
Whoa. I'm going to guess the title of this was Grandpa, Boss, or Boyfriend.
Yep. The answer is all three. That's what you get when you're 20 and he's 60. And like, she was like, he wants us to move to Miami he wanted her to move to Texas or Miami. Yeah. And she was like, I'm really close to my family. And he was like, it's fine. They can come visit us. And she was like, well, I'm really close to my family. And it was like, oh, she's saying I'm still a child.
Yes.
I need to live with my family.
For a bit. Yeah.
And apparently, according to socials, they're still together.
Okay.
But look, here's the deal. I looked up Herbal Molly and this is an article. As the EDM community continues to struggle with its drug problem.
Oh, boy.
Name of the brand has developed one solution, or so they say. It's a legal, safe, all-natural alternative to MDMA. It's the world's most powerful, all-natural, plant-based, experience-enhancing supplement. It's dopamine, serotonin, and GABA-stimulating, but requires no prescription and comes without risk.
Okay.
It just changes your entire brain, but it doesn't do anything.
I know. I'm kind of a library nerd, but Chris and I have done Molly one time. It was very, very fun.
Oh, cool, guys.
Also, it was like, we did it like out with friends, but then we just went back to our house. And when we woke up the next morning, we had reorganized our furniture and we looked in our YouTube search history and we had not just like searched for like Mariah Carey playlist. We had individually searched for every Mariah Carey music video. Like 34 individual searches. Like we did not
Mariah Carey Fantasy, Mariah Carey Heartbreaker,
yeah.
Mariah.
Yeah, and then there were some we couldn't forget. We couldn't remember like the title of it. So it'd be like Mariah Carey White Boots. Like it was just like and it was a very fun thing, but I managed to avoid the next day where everyone's like, you feel like the saddest you've ever felt before, which is like, I think the thing that happens after you take Molly.
Yes,
typically.
Well, this is where like Molly became a big thing in like the improv community.
Yes.
And I was like, really? A bunch of depressed, unemployed people?
Yeah.
Are
you're
going to mess with your serotonin when you're someone who has trouble accessing serotonin to begin
yes.
with. This is such a problem.
And this is the thing. It's like every responsible person I know who recreationally takes drugs is like, take Molly once a year if you're going to take it. Like it is not a thing that you should be ever, and especially you shouldn't be taken with people who you don't really know too well. Like that's not the vibe.
I know. Yeah. I respect when it's like a little, well, I respect everything because it's all everything that ever happens is good. but when it's like we're going to Joshua Tree on a trip anyway and we're all gonna go and eat a little mushroom. I'm like, great. Gorgeous for you. Happy for you.
Yeah.
I know. I almost signed up to take ayahuasca.
Oh, yeah.
Years ago. Talk about journeying into spooky things.
I mean.
You can see dead people and God and spirits and...
Talk to a couch.
Talk to a damn couch. Yeah. I almost signed up. Like a friend was like, if you want, it's $200. There's going to be 12 of us in a yoga studio in New York over a weekend. And you're going to throw up and shit your pants in front of strangers.
Oh.
And you have to like prepare psychologically for it. And I kept being like, maybe I will. Maybe I won't. I don't know. And he was like, are you in or you're out? And I was like, I might be in. And then I realized I was like, well, I like that after you do ayahuasca, they say that you have like the spiritual healing and stuff that happens. So I'll just get to that. And then I was like, I think going into a trip, being like, let me just get through this to the end is like a good way to have a horrific experience.
Anna, that is so smart. Yeah.
And I just didn't. I was like, nope, I can't do that.
I take very few mind altering substances. And a big part of it is that when I was a kid, I had several surgeries and I was put under deep anesthetic a couple times. Mm. The one that was like the most fresh in my brain, I think I've talked about this in the pod before, but I was put under for 9 hours for a surgery. And I went on the greatest trip of my entire life. The short version of it is I was running at an incredible speed through the most gorgeous desert ever. And I was holding hands with Muppets in a long line who went as far as the eye could see in either direction. We were all running together. And then the Muppet, who's like the old Muppet with like a mustache and glasses, looked at me and said, ready? And then we flew off into the sky, gorgeous sky. They all came in a big circle. We were spinning around and around. And I'm sort of like, I don't see how I'm ever going. Like, that's what I wanted from this. And I'm glad I had that experience when I was 9. You know?
Good for you.
So it sort of is like...
Yeah, we gave your son a little bit of MDMA.
He kept just naming Mariah Carey music videos as we were doing
Mariah
surgery.
Mariah Carey White Boots, please.
Yeah. Mariah Carey on a swing. Mariah Carey... Yeah. It's... Gay people are so funny. It's so
gay
funny.
Gay people are so gay.
It is so funny that is what Chris and I did.
Did you have a memory of it or was it just like...
I remember listening to Always Be My Baby and being like, this is the best thing I've ever heard in my life. I remember having the thought in that music video, I was like, how did she get on that rope swing? It's impossible to have done. It like doesn't make... Like when you look at it physically.
Watch it.
And then the other one is... I always thought she was saying, when she says, but inevitably you'll be back again, I thought she was saying, but enough about me. But enough about me. you'll be back again.
Oh, like, my God.
And our friend Salty once said to me when I thought that was the lyric, she said, Mariah Carey has never in her life said, but enough about me.
Oh, God, I'm rambling. Anyway, I miss you. Come back. What's new with you?
Yeah, like, what's going on?
I'm just sort of a middle-aged conversational thing. And a,
yeah, but enough
so
about me.
Funny.
The pop sensation.
Oh, my God. Well, I feel like we covered it.
I think, what a funny episode this was.
Oh, my God, really funny. Thank you, Mara, for sending that in. And thank you, Molly, for...
Thank you, life. Thank you, love.
There are some angels in this city.
I think there is some Molly in this diner.
There...
yeah, and Anna Wilson, we're so thrilled that you're okay. Your instincts were correct. Good on you for keeping an eye out.
Look, we're all in this together.
Yeah.
As Zac Efron once said.
He did.
At his Harvard commencement speech. I don't know.
At his personal Harvard
commencement. He owns Harvard.
Right.
And he does a commencement every year.
Anna, before we go, would you like to do a little segment we like to call Scary Ideas for Things That Could happen?
Yeah. Andrew, would you like to go first or second?
I have a small one that just jumped to mind, and I think it's going to be short and simple.
Get in there.
Your husband has recently got into plant daddydom. And he puts a little bit of poison in the plants that is for bugs, ostensibly. And one day you walk by the plants and you see two little bugs cowering. And you're like, what's going on? And you look closer, and those two bugs are walking by a little bug graveyard. And you hear one of the bugs say to the other bug,
are there bug ghosts?
And the other one says,
we only live for like 2 days.
That could happen.
And in fact, that does happen. And that constantly is happening here is what I'm getting.
At any given time, Chris is poisoning bugs.
Oh my God. It's hard to keep bugs away from plants because bugs love plants.
I know. And it's so funny because Chris has such a holistic approach to bugs where he like a gnat, he will catch and release. But he will poison the hell out of bugs.
We need to mug Chris. We need to change him.
If there is a single bug thinking about taking a bite out of one of his plants, he'd be like, I'm going to kill that bug's whole family, and I'm going to post about it on social.
That's amazing.
Thank you.
Oh, my God. God bless. We got him there.
God bless.
Okay, here we go. You are rowing your canoe on a beautiful, still mountain lake. And the water is like glass, and the moon starts to rise, and you look and you see there's something standing in the middle of the lake, and you paddle a little closer, and you see it's a moose.
That could happen.
See? And that...
Animals,
a scary idea for a thing that could happen.
Moose are the most supernatural animal that we know of, I think.
There are, and there's like, this isn't moose, but there's like big bucks in LA. My friend got a 12-point buck in the end of his driveway on his Nest Cam.
Big Buck is exact. This is my son, Big Buck. He's from LA.
Fight him. Well, you can follow us on
Instagram,
Twitter. At scary story, what is
underscore
it?
Pod.
Underscore pod. You can send us an email at scarystorypod@gmail.com.
And one more thing you could do.
Get out.
Forever Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production. Scary Stories to Tell on the Pod is executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. Produced by Tracy Soren. Original theme music by Chris Ryan. Cover art by Bats Langley. To listen to this podcast ad-free, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcasts.com/plus. Check out video clips of our podcasts on YouTube at youtube.com/foreverdogteam. And make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Forever Dog Team to keep up with all the latest Forever Dog news.